You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome and greet all you listeners wherever you are. And I hope you can stay tuned in to the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. So Pastor Don and I, sitting across the desk from me, we co-pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for 22 plus years that God gave us the name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so I trust wherever you are, if you're at home listening on the radio, you're out in the car listening on the radio, or if you're on the internet someplace, we just trust that you'll be blessed with what you hear today. As you stay tuned in with us, we're going to talk about some interesting things today, and we're honored to be here with you. And we know we want to give you the truth of the Word of God and nothing but the truth, not what man thinks, but what the Bible has to say. And so we don't want to get into any kind of legalistic aspect, which is some extreme conformity to something, or some things are even added to try to make, you know, things look right and all. We don't want any of that. We want just to be with you and to give you the truth of the Word of God. So we're honored to be here with you as always. It's a pleasure. And my precious wife is across the table from us. And so we're going to talk and teach on a few things today. And as we mentioned many times every week, if you want to get a CD or a tape of what we're going to talk about today, all we ask for is a love offering. You ask the Lord what to give, and whatever He tells you, you do it. And you can get a CD or a tape. Just request what you want and the date, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you again. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. I was thinking a moment ago, thank God for WCNO Radio. They're on 7 days a week, 24 hours a week, and they just finished their praise-a-thon and all that, you know, raising money. So we trust that you were a part of that.
Amen.
Excuse me. So they concluded that yesterday. So we just thank God for all the money that came in to help that program
stay on the air.
I should say that station, not just a program, but many programs to stay on.
Many programs.
Every day. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Good music.
Good music and a lot of good teaching as well. So we're honored to be here with you. So Donna's got a couple announcements maybe to make here with us before we start, and we'll share some things with you from the Word of God. And we ask you to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you.
Amen.
And I and Donna and everybody that's listening individually, what God's sharing with you at this time. Amen, Pastor.
I'm glad they play some Jewish music.
Yeah, they
do. And because there's some wonderful born-again Jewish singers and recorders, and it's just, that's wonderful. And you know, Pastor Tom, he loves Israel like you do, Pastor Gene. That's another connection we have with the radio station. And
Pastor
he goes
Tom
to Israel,
yeah.
Right? Pastor Tom goes to Israel every year, doesn't
every
he?
Year.
Go every year,
yeah.
Takes some people every year, and has a wonderful time there. And you know, if people still are thinking about it, they still can call in and give an offering for these next 6 months. But you know, this radio program that we have, the Raising the Standard, well, we have to pay for that.
That's right.
We have to pay every month. We have to pay for that. And it's quite a bit of money. So also, if anyone would like to send an offering to help us pay for the programming that we have every month, that would also be a blessing.
Blessing to us, right.
I want to mention also that you can listen to this program, and you can go back and listen to other programs that we have and other people have at their podcast, you just go to WCNO.com and you go on there and you look up what you want to listen to, or what, you know, what program you want to listen to. And if you want to listen to this one, Raising the Standard, just go to Saturday and look for Pastor Gene Hilton's name at 12 o'clock noon. And you can just look. There's a number of programs on there that we have done that you can re-listen to again. Amen? Amen. Maybe you want to listen to the part about the one about the Passover again. You know, there are many that you can listen
That's
to
right.
again.
Amen.
But we are blessed to be on WCNO radio station, and also that it's now on the internet, so anyone, anywhere.
In the world.
In the world. We don't have to send out tapes or CDs, you know, unless somebody really wants one, because they can go back and listen to the broadcast again and again and again.
I don't know how far back he goes on dates, but I think he goes back quite a ways.
There's a lot of them.
That's right. So anyway, we're blessed to be part of that ministry
mm-hmm. as well.
That's right.
And like you said, we have services here in Stuart, Florida. And so I'm going to just mention the services and the times. So we have Sunday morning service at or Meeting with God. Pastor Gene likes to call it.
We're meeting with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. But we do serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So that word service comes out of, I'd say, serve. We do serve Him, don't we? In spirit mm-hmm. and in truth. And so that's on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And then on Friday night, we have our Shabbat service. And when you say, well, what is that? You know, well, we embrace the Sabbath.
Amen.
And not legalistically, like Pastor Gene said, but
right.
from the heart, because that's what the Lord has laid on our heart. And many people that come to that, I believe the Lord is showing a lot of people that God set the Sabbath in order, and it wasn't to be removed.
Right.
Sabbath is always a Sabbath. This means seven.
It says forever, too, doesn't it?
And it says forever.
That's
and,
right.
And you know, God said mm-hmm. to Moses, He says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's a day. See, a lot of people say, well, it's just Saturday. We can go shopping on Saturday. No, it says keep it holy.
That's right.
See, because it's a holy day. And so God wants that day to be kept holy.
Yes,
it's
does.
A day He gave to man to rest and to spend time with their family and with the Lord, and
that's right.
And you know, teaching your
it's
children.
It's a set aside time, isn't
so
it?
It's a holy time.
That's
these
right.
these days, from Friday evening till Saturday evening, God calls it a holy day.
It's a holy convocation. Yeah,
it's separated yeah. from the rest of the week.
Shit.
See, the rest of the and it prepares us for the rest of the week. When we do that, I believe the Lord gives us. He strengthens us for the things He'd have us to do at the rest of the week. So it is a separation. Definitely it's a separation. It's a separation between the holy and the normal. You know, what you would do normally every other day. You know,
that's
it's
right.
different. It's holy.
Right.
So He says to remember it and to keep it holy.
That's
and
right.
that's important. So that's what the Lord has shown us. So we meet on Friday at 7 p.m. in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And we do light the candles, and we have a prayer, and we have communion every Friday night. And we also had some teaching, and we also spend time listening to some of the wonderful music that we have. That's prophetic music, and some of it's Hebrew music. Hebrew people, you know, there's a lot of Jewish people that believe in Yeshua now.
That's right.
And they have made
more
a lot
and more
of
coming,
CDs
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
a lot of wonderful music. So we just like to do that, and so that's on. And then on Saturday we come together at 4 o'clock. We also come together at 4 o'clock to teach or to minister at different things. But this week we're going to show a video, and people are really enjoying the videos that we have. And this video is about a rabbi who lived not too long ago.
Right.
He happens to have died, but he died, I think he was over
100 years old.
Years old when he died. And he
found the Messiah.
Found the Messiah. And he was very, 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 he lived in Israel all his life. And he was a teacher and had a school. What's this Jewish school called over there?
Yeshivas.
Yeshiva. So he had a school. And he taught rabbis. He raised up rabbis.
That's right.
And so he had a visitation.
Yeah.
And this is about his life and the visitation that he had. And Yeshua, he had a visitation from the Lord, from Yeshua. And, well, come and see. It's going to be at 4 o'clock. And, you know, he wrote a note, a coded note, I'd say.
Before he died, yeah.
Before he died, and he said to them, they couldn't be open for a year.
That's right.
And so when they opened it, because he had a website, he had a lot of teaching, you know.
Yeah.
Even the people, when they decoded it, some of the things were even taken off the website because, you know, a lot of the rabbis didn't want to believe that Yeshua is Lord. So this is about him and how God is revealing the mystery of Yeshua to the Jewish people.
Yep.
Praise the Lord.
This is interesting. He was
and his name is Pastor Gene.
His name was Rabbi Yitzhak, I guess you asked.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. Yitzhak Gadori. Gadori.
Gadori.
His last name.
Gadori.
Yeah. Gadori.
And so that.
So it brought a real uproar in Israel when he came because he was so respected as a rabbi mm-hmm. over there.
A lot of Jewish people. There's a lot of messianic congregations in Israel.
Yeah.
And so we know we're in the last time, the last days, because their eyes have been closed. You know, God closed their eyes. But now what's happening? More and more and more Jewish people are believing in Yeshua as Jesus Christ, that he did come and he did die and paid the price for our sins. And he did raise again.
From the dead.
From the dead.
Just like he said.
mm-hmm.
He's not a man that he should lie, all right?
During the time of Passover. So we have all these pictures throughout the Bible, which shows us about Passover and about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, now we're in that time of counting the Omer.
The Omer. This is the 10th day today, or the 14th day
14th
today.
14th
day today. Yeah, I lost track there. Well, let's do something, honey. Let's just talk about...
You know, anyways, that's at 4 o'clock.
Okay, oh, I'm okay. Sorry. Finish up.
And I'm going to give the phone number in case anybody wants to call us, because we're in Stuart, and we're mm-hmm. not too... We're very easy to find. We're on Canner Highway, mm-hmm. right off of exit 101 on from 95. So I'm going to give the telephone number. If you have a pen and pencil, pen or pencil, the area code is 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
We're 007 agents, huh?
And we want to say hi to all you out there. Blessings.
Right. Blessings. We say hello to Roscoe and Audrey over on Andros Island, and I hope they're listening in here today. We're going to be coming over there to see them on Wednesday. We're flying over there. We're going to come back the following Monday. So we're glad to go, and they're excited about us coming. So we say hello to them and all their congregation over there, and we'll be honored to be there. And
those of you who are listening, keep us in prayer.
That's
we
right.
We 1 o'clock on Wednesday.
That's right. So I want to say hello to my good friend. His name is Harley. He listens in every week with us. And so, Harley, I hope you have ears to hear. And those ears will be perked up really good to hear. He's a good friend of a lady in our church that we love very much. And she happens to be a Messianic Jew, too. So,
yes.
So it's a good friend of hers. So anyway, we're honored to be here. And we'll hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour as we go. We got about 45
minutes. Say hello to Daryl up there.
Daryl and Judy McCray. Judy's down here. And Daryl's up in South Carolina. And he's... contemplating trying to get things done so he can move down here also. So we say hello to him if he's listening
Amen.
In and not working today. So let's do this. Hallelujah. We just went through the Passover season. We talked about some things, but I'd like to go over and just touch on that a moment, and we'll kind of relate this, and we can see some things, what God's wanting us to know in these days and this season that we're in right now, crowning the Omer and all. So I'm going to go over to Matthew chapter 27 with you, and we want to show you something that something had to happen previous to this, so that Yeshua, what happened previous, I should say, Yeshua had to fulfill. And we're going to see that he did fulfill this right here as we look at this closely here this afternoon. I'm going to start in verse 50 of Matthew 27. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. So, there was a shaking when it happened. And then verse 52, these next two verses are important. And it says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, it doesn't say at that moment when the shaking came, but then it says, and came out of the graves after. This is the key word. It had to be after his resurrection, because remember, he's the first fruits of the resurrection. So the shaking came, the graves were open. If you go to Israel, a lot of those graves and tombs are above ground and they're covered. So maybe those lids all came off. We don't know what happened with that, but they were opened, it says. And many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. And it tells you right here in verse 53, and came out of the graves after, mark that in your Bible, after not at the same time, but after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So there must have been some people there that they recognized that had died that came back to life again. Well, if we look at this, I believe really with all my heart here, we don't know how many people came out, and we don't know for sure how many, but there must have been a great number that came out, and they came out of the graves. And I really believe that when Yeshua was put in a supernatural body, these people were done the same way because they were part of the resurrection. Well, how do we know this? Because Yeshua had to fulfill something very important that happened hundreds of years ago, and he couldn't be our Messiah unless he fulfilled every single thing, crossed the T's, dotted the I's, and to fulfill everything about him that was written for him to be the Messiah. So now with that thought, because of the resurrection, now let's think about this for a moment. The resurrection happened on Nisan 17. We talked, I think, last week or the week before. We gave you not only Jesus' resurrection day, we show you four examples, and the first covenant is proof that he had to arise from the dead on the 17th of Nisan. We did that. Went through four key examples in the Word of God that proves that. Even the time over there in Exodus, even the time, when Genesis and Exodus are put together, even the time, it's mainly in the book of Exodus, the time when he came out of the grave in the morning watch and all that. And so we have proof of all that just with the Word of God. So now we're talking about all these saints that came out. Now let's go look at this in Leviticus chapter 23 for a moment, and we'll see some things here that our Messiah had to fulfill to be the Messiah, to be qualified to be the Messiah. And we've talked about this many times. I keep telling people this event that happened in Yeshua's life in 30 AD was the most important event that ever has happened in history. Nothing is as important as what happened on that day. So we look back to that day. Well, I guess the next exciting thing will be what? The resurrection, the catching away. But this was the most important event. And if we didn't have this, there wouldn't be a resurrection or catching away, would they, Pastor Donna? So I'm going to go over Leviticus chapter 23 with you. And this gives you the actually eight appointed times. The first one's the Sabbath. And then the Lord goes through the other seven to show us how important they are. And they weren't just things that he made up. They were things they were supposed to be involved with, understand the truth behind it, and the spiritual truth behind it, and to walk into the fullness of it. And they had to honor these things every single year, didn't they, Pastor Don?
And they started with the Sabbath, didn't they?
They started with the Sabbath. So it's incredible to think about it. So we're looking here today. We think where we're at, we're about almost 6,000 years down the road since Adam was put on the earth, and we see that Messiah's done his work. And so we're almost there. So something's going to happen at the end of that 6,000-year period. We're getting close to that. We know that from the time that Adam was on the earth. And so these things are all important to teach us about God's purpose and plans. And these are not secrets. These are things that he put in place for them to honor. And the interesting thing, Pastor Don, is when we get in the kingdom of God, we're going to be doing these things every year with the Lord. And so we should know about it right now. I told people, I think, last Sunday, it'd be a shame to get to heaven and see all these things going on and we didn't know anything about it. It'd be a shock to us. No, we need to know what's going to happen. Amen? All right. I'm in Leviticus 23, and I'm in the King James Version Bible, and I'm going to start here in verse 9. Now, listen to this. Well, I'm going to read 8 before that. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7 days, what? A holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. So what's he talking about? He's talking about our Sabbath. And, of course, we know the Sabbath is what? It's a pattern, picture of what? The kingdom of God that will last. It'll be the seventh 1,000-year period, which is called the millennial kingdom. That word's not in the Bible, but it's a period of 1,000 years, which means what? A millennium is 1,000 years. Amen? So this will be this is talking about the Sabbath. It's a picture of that seventh 1,000-year period. Glory be to God. That'll be there at the end, and we'll have the privilege to be there. Aren't you glad? All right. Now, verse 9 says this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. So you notice, now they had a delay of almost 40 years, and they passed it out because of their disobedience and all when they came out of Egypt, and God told them to do certain things, and they didn't. If you read the scriptures, they could have been in the promised land within 11 days, but they sinned. So they wandered around in the wilderness for what, 40 years until that first generation died off. So they were not able to reap the harvest because in those 40 years, what did they do? They received manna from heaven.
Amen.
God fed them supernaturally.
Angels' food.
That's right, angels' food. So they were not able to do this, but this was prophetic. It should have happened immediately, but they disobeyed, so it was delayed. But we see this, that they were to reap the harvest thereof in their land, when they got into the promised land. Then shall you bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest into the priest. So what's the first fruits? It means the first fruits of the earth. So think about it.
It says, had to be in their land before they could grow crops.
You got it. Couldn't be anywhere else, right? So we have this word sheaf here. What does that mean? It means a big handful of grain that they pull out. And we know the Passover is the barley harvest. We talked about this before, about the gleaning in the field and all that. But they had to pull out a handful of barley that was ripe, and it was to be brought before the Lord in the temple. And what? Lord, of course, in that time, being in the tabernacle in the wilderness, when they got that done, to wave it before the Lord.
And that was after the resurrection.
After the resurrection.
And I believe that those first fruits that came out of the ground with the Lord, you know, those people that you were talking about earlier, was this the fulfillment of
that's right.
That waving the offering. There was not just Yeshua came out of the grave, but many others came out of the grave.
Sure.
And that was the waving. That was the beginning of the Omer. That was the measure. There was a certain measure that had to, that was resurrected with that when the Lord came out of the grave.
And awesome. So he took all those saints to heaven with him to fulfill this, and he took those saints, and he had to, basically, he waved those before his Father in heaven. It's incredible to think about it, to fulfill all that.
So they're there and now.
That's right. I believe they're in supernatural bodies, you know. Bodies. We don't know how many they were. There might have been thousands. We don't know. God chose a certain number.
But people even saw them in the streets and recognized some of them.
That's right. So they knew they were dead, and they come back to life and resurrected. Verse 11 now.
That would really shake your boots, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Shaking your boots.
Yeah. That's right. Verse 11 says, and he, who's this, the priest, shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow. Listen to this. The morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So what's the morrow? What Sabbath would this be? A lot of people think it's the high Sabbath that we talked about a couple weeks ago, but this is, understanding the scriptures and all, this is going to be what? The day after the weekly Sabbath, which would be Nisan 17, the day that Yeshua came out of the grave. So I'll read it again. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow, means the day after what? The Sabbath, the priest, what? Shall wave it. And you shall offer that day, when you weigh the sheaf, a he-lamb without blemish. Well, that's a picture of Yeshua, isn't it, Pastor Don? He is a lamb, but he wasn't sacrificed, and we know at this time. But in the future, he did what? He died for all mankind. He was without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering, that meat means what? Grain. Thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hen. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn, listen to this, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. In other words, they weren't to do anything until they brought this offering before the Lord. They weren't to eat anything. It shall be a statute forever. Listen to this. It says forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? So this wave offering that Jesus allowed to happen after his resurrection fulfilled this part of the scripture because he's our Messiah.
And he's the priest.
And he's the priest. He's
the
high priest.
So he waved it before the Lord.
That's right. He took those people before the Father and waved them also as a token of his resurrection. Isn't it wonderful? Now, verse 15. Now we're going to get into what
these must have been pretty important people.
They sure were
in the kingdom. You know,
who knows who they were?
It says that many are called, but few are chosen.
That's right.
So wow, I'm just getting a revelation
here. That's right.
So many are called, but few are chosen.
So who did God choose to bring out?
See, God has chosen throughout time, throughout history, certain people to do certain things.
That's right.
And so, and God knows the ones that will do it. Will follow Him and do it. You know, many are called, many say, yes, Lord, but they're not totally sold out to the Lord.
That's right.
You know, so these chosen ones, many are called, but few were chosen. These chosen ones, which also represents the Jewish people. I know that, the nation of the Jewish
people. These were all Jews that came out.
Are chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
But there could have been some people here that were not, actually. There could have been, because there were people who who decided to come into Israel and be obedient to the things of Israel. Like, for instance, we talked last week about Ruth.
Right. Gentile woman, they became part of Israel.
She could have been one of them.
Who knows? She might have been. That's right.
We don't know. Because in the Old Testament, you say, well, they didn't know Yeshua. But how does salvation come? By faith.
That's right.
She had faith to follow her mother-in-law, right?
That's right.
And she was willing, and she was obedient, and she followed. And so, look, she could have been one of those.
That's right. She found a kinsman redeemer, didn't she?
Like, but you aren't chosen.
That's right.
You know, we wonder sometimes, who were they, Lord? We don't know. But they had to be chosen people that God resurrected.
Well, think about us. We're alive. But think about all the saints from the time that Yeshua was on the earth that died. They're what? They're a chosen generation. There's going to be a resurrection one mm-hmm. day, and it'll be a catching away of those that believe in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so you think about it, it's incredible. And there's going to be a gathering that, in fact, Paul talked about, us gathering unto the mm-hmm. Lord. That's going to happen also. So the Bible says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
Priest and a king, generation. And didn't Yeshua, when he went down into the deep, some people don't even believe he did that, into the deep, didn't he empty out a section called paradise?
Paradise, he sure did.
When he emptied that part out. So.
That's it.
Wow.
He removed
so
all
many,
that.
There's so many things we don't know. But all these things, this happened. So this group of people that came out of the grave were people that was the measure, like the measure of the Omer.
That's right.
A certain amount.
We don't know how many, and we don't know who they were. But more than likely, there'll be a lot of the well-known people probably that the Bible talked about. It might be Joseph, might be one of them that came out way back there. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of the prophets. Mm-hmm. I don't know. God chose who they were. We don't know.
And it could have been somebody that that people wouldn't even recognize. Well, what about an intercessor? What about mm-hmm. someone like Anna, who waited in the temple for the Messiah?
And Simeon also was there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know.
But you know, if we could go over to Israel now, up on the mount, to the right of the Mount of Olives, facing the Mount of mm-hmm. Olives, with all those tombs, and a lot of them are marked by well-known people in Israel. If we took and flipped all those, you know, those covers on those tombs off and looked, we might find some of those tombs had no bones in them. They were gone.
Didn't we happen to see Samuel's tomb?
Yeah, we did.
It was a big one. It's a big tomb.
It was, had a building over it and all that. But it's incredible when we think about this. So he took a token amount out. We don't know what it was, but they're all out there shouting for us right now. And so this is an incredible event that happened here when Israel was told all this in the book of Leviticus, and one day Yeshua fulfilled it. This was a physical thing they did right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what Jesus did was what? It was a spiritual thing. He took those that were natural bodies that died, and he put them in a supernatural,
what a
spiritual body.
It
ought to make you shout to think about that.
Wow.
You know? And we're going to have the same thing happen one day. Either we'll go by the way of the grave, or we'll be caught away, the same as the Bible says. And so what an honor to think that we're in that chosen group.
It could be very soon.
Could well be.
We need to be ready all the time.
Right. Well, then we go into verse 15. We're going to talk now. This takes us out now to beginning the counting of the Omer, okay? Glory. So this what we just read from 9 down through 14 happened on Nisan 17. Back in that day, it was called Abib, A-B-I-B, or sometimes called Aviv, A-V-I-V. So that happened, okay? Well, then it's going to tell us here what happens from the day that the Messiah came out of the grave. He has to fulfill all this, okay? Now listen to this, verse 15. And ye, that means you all, those there at that time, shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. So this would be the first day of the week, okay?
That's right.
From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. And it takes you out to 49 days. Now listen to this. Even on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And you shall bring out of your habitations wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. So now listen to this. Now we have something different, don't we? We have two complete loaves of bread that are put together, and they're baked what? With leaven. We mentioned that last week, I think, a little bit, that leaven is always a picture of something that's wrong or sin. Well, we know.
But I think this is a picture of something that's good.
That's right. This is something that's good, yeah.
We have to understand this.
Right. Because he's got two loaves, and what do those two loaves represent? I really believe it represents
resurrection.
What? Resurrection also reveals what? The Jew and the Gentile. One new man that God's going to have, and he calls them the first fruits unto the Lord. If you read James, it says we're like the first fruits unto the Lord, the body of Christ. And so we got some interesting things. Although remember, Yeshua, he was the first fruits. He had to be. It tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15, that he was the first fruits. And then after that, what? The rest of us, it comes in our proper order. It's incredible. Oh, it gets me excited thinking.
And we wave the two challah breads.
We do it.
We wave the two challah breads.
We
which
hold
represents,
it up.
Like you said, the Jew and the Gentile.
That's right.
You know, and well, also the resurrection.
Yep. It's all
that there'll be, but there will be Jew and Gentile in the resurrection.
Right.
So it's not going to just be people who say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." You know, no Jews are going to heaven.
Right.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
Because it's he says even in the New Testament he says that we are one new man.
That's right.
Jew and Gentile, neither. Oh, and also male and female. What
That's
about
right.
male and female?
So Paul said neither male nor female. That's right.
It's all together in that one place.
That's right.
Jew and Gentile, mm-hmm. male and female, we're one in Yeshua.
That's right.
So we can't look at people individually. Whoever God calls, he's called.
That's right.
They're Christ. They're
That's
part
right.
of the kingdom of heaven.
They all belong to him.
They belong
Jew
to him.
Or Gentile. That's right. So it's really incredible. So we do our Shabbat on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Shabbat, we do it with challah bread, and it's got leaven in it, but it's beautiful.
Yes, it
That's
does.
All braided together. But we take communion right after that. We do that with what? Unleavened bread. This
That's
time,
right. unleavened.
The 7 days after Yeshua's resurrection is called what? Or prior to that, really. Starting on Nisan, what? 15? They go for what? 7 days. It's called what? Unleavened bread, out to the 21st. And so,
no leaven in their
so
house.
So we know that he rose from the grave during that time, and they had to get all the leaven out of their houses and all that. So we have an incredible picture with this, because the Messiah, Jesus, is what? The unleavened bread.
Right. And that challah bread that we all take a piece out of the center.
That's right.
Because the Lord showed us this is the year of the whirlwind.
That's right.
And so I have the challah bread made. Not I used to have it braided, but now I have it made in a circle, and so it looks like a whirlwind, actually.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it goes around and around and looks in the whirlwind. So the Lord spoke to my heart, said, you know, if we stay in the center of the whirlwind, because, you know, God's the one who creates the whirlwind. He created everything, you know.
That's right.
If you get on the outside and you get in the where the world's at, you know, you're going to get caught up in the things of the whirlwind and destruction and whatever, even things in your life. If you don't stay in the peace of God in the center, you know, if you stay in the center, you know, you're going to be in the peace of God, and no matter what's going on around us, no matter if there is a whirlwind, it could be all kinds of things. It could be a number of things, you know, and so no matter that this is the year of the whirlwind, if we stay in that close place, and if we stay in that center, like we want press in towards the center, then you know we're going to have the shalom, the peace of God.
That's right.
And that word shalom, it means wholeness. It means peace. It means peace to your body, your mind, your soul, you know, everything. Your spirit, man, you will have peace.
And when you're in that place, with that peace you have, no matter what's going around, we have to be total focused and committed mm-hmm. to the Lord. And if we stay there, then we're going to be protected with all that.
We Amen. Have to be single-eyed.
Sure.
If we get our eye on, if we look at our eyes out around and we start looking at other stuff, you know what, we'll be drawn to what our eyes see.
That's right.
Many times. And it could be something wrong. It could be something that, you know, it could be sin.
Sure.
But if we stay single-eyed, we're going to focus on what's right and what's good and what's holy and the Sabbath, and we're going to focus on God, and our eyes won't be drawn away
sure.
to other things.
It happened with Adam and Eve, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was the desire of their eyes and their flesh and their pride of mm-hmm. life. And so they had to deal with that. Jesus Yeshua himself, when he came out after being baptized, he went in the wilderness and he was tempted the same way. Well, you and I have the same thing mm-hmm. in our life. You know, the desires of the flesh and what we want, and also the pride of life is there as well. So we don't want that. Lust doesn't mean just necessarily sexual things. It means any strong desire. The lust of the flesh, the lust of mm-hmm. the eyes, and mm-hmm. the pride of life. And so we have to go through the same things that he did. So we have to be overcomers. And Jesus says we can be overcomers because he was. So what do we overcome? We overcome Satan, the world, and our flesh.
You know? Our flesh.
That's what we have to overcome.
Our flesh is probably one of the biggest
That's
ones,
right.
you know, because there's a lot of things that are going on that are wrong in the world, but you don't have to get involved with that. But you think about Adam and Eve, you know, when God created Adam, he put him in a safe place.
Sure did.
He put him right in the center.
Yep.
Where, you know, he was protected. And
yeah.
everywhere else around was chaos, you know, and there were no weeds in the garden, you
That's
know,
right.
everywhere else, I'm sure there were weeds and who knows, vicious animals and I don't know, but everything in the garden, you know, he was protected.
Peaceful. Yes.
You know, even all the animals, I mean, they were his friends. They were
mm-hmm.
they were Adam's friend.
That's right.
And I thought about, you know, God had him in this protected area, you know, he could walk anywhere and feel safe. He could feel safe as long as he was inside that garden. But you know, and God had him name all the animals, and God realized, Adam needs a partner. He needs somebody for himself. So I was thinking the other day, about the eye, God's the eye, and the singleness of our eye, and God talks about the pupil, the pupil. He says that Israel is what?
The pupil of his eye.
The pupil of his eye. And if you poke Israel, you're going to poke somebody in the eye?
You're poking God right in the eye. That's right.
And so the eye is a very important part of our body. And I was thinking also, I mentioned it in prayer, that, that everyone's pupil is black. And, God wants us to be able to see down deep into the things that he has for us, to see deep into the spiritual world that he's created, which to him is not a spiritual world, it's natural. But he, yeah. I was thinking, God, it says that, God spoke. They walked in the cool of the garden, right?
Right.
And so the Lord, must have spoke, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, must have spoke
both
to Adam
there,
a lot. Because they could hear him in the garden, a lot. He must have spoken a lot to him, and he gave him a lot of instructions and all, But then
even the glory rested on him. Yeah.
Yes, but then when his wife came along, when God created Eve, I believe that God expected Adam to teach her the things that God had taught him.
Yeah.
Not that they didn't both walk in the garden, but he walked in the garden way before she came along.
That's
before
right.
She came along. So mm-hmm. it was just Adam and the Lord, just the two of them together, so it wasn't a woman that would distract him from God. But see, when the woman came along, that could even have been a distraction from God, because perhaps he wasn't as diligent in teaching her about that tree. But you say, well, that tree, why was that tree in the garden? Well, there wasn't really anything wrong with that tree. They just were not to
eat from
that tree.
They were told not to eat from it.
Yeah, well, the tree wasn't sin.
That's
no,
right.
And all they had to do is they had to be obedient to that, and then they would be could have stayed in that garden
but
forever.
The tree represented something. That's what it was. What's wrong with the tree?
The tree represented the
separation or knowing good from evil.
Right, and he wanted them to only know the good, and to
That's
hear
right.
and only listen to him, not to listen to a voice of the stranger or the devil.
That's right.
But she listened to the devil.
That's right.
And it wasn't all her fault, because if you go back and you read it really carefully in Genesis, Adam was right there with her at the same time. He was made to be
the overseer,
covering.
Yeah, that's right.
To protect her and to
yeah.
and to even say, no, God says we do not eat this tree, and so what happened? Because they got out of we're talking about the whirlwind, we're talking about being in the center. Because of their disobedience, they were sent out into the whirlwind
That's
of the
right.
world.
You got it.
And they had to struggle.
Sure.
They had to struggle. And they had, when they planted, they were going to have weeds in their field. In
That's
the garden that they planted, there would be
no weeds.
There'd
That's
be
right.
no weeds. And there would be perfect temperature. There'd be perfect rain, water amount
humidity,
moisture.
All that was amazing.
Everything was perfect.
Right.
But when they sinned, then everything was, they ended up in chaos, They had to struggle.
And so when Satan came to her, the first thing he did was what? He challenged her with what God had told them. What do we hear in
Tempted
the world
her.
Today? What do we hear in the world today?
Temptation.
Well, did God say that?
It
was hundreds,
that.
Thousands of years ago,
Right.
What is it? Does
this
it matter?
This book doesn't apply for now. They would
That's
say
what
people
they try
tell,
to tell you,
That's
right.
Especially when you have all these Bibles, like you said at the beginning, we're reading out of the King James Bible, the Authorized Version, but when you have all these different Bible translations, which we have today, and they're changing them, they're changing the words. The Bible
That's right.
talks about adding words to it and
taking
words
away.
Away.
That's right.
And they're changing the words. What they're doing is they're watering down the gospel so it doesn't, so it will be, anyone can take a Bible and say, and say it's, because the words have been twisted and they've been some changed, some scriptures have been taken out and some scriptures have they put different words in, and Lord told you one time what the power to
define words is the power to control people.
It's the power to
and
control
that's what
people.
We have today.
So when God says do not, and they take that word do not out of the Bible,
you're right. It's incredible. We think about
they
it.
Want to make it so it's palatable for anyone.
Right.
Even people who are living in sin, and even churches who want to start churches, and they don't care about ordaining people that aren't following
in
the
sin.
Lord,
yeah,
that are living
right.
in sin.
That's right. But you think about, you know, here Eve was, and she wouldn't listen. Well, Adam had a lot to do with it, like Pastor Don said, because he should have spoke up. But anyway, she listened to the devil, and he tricked her. And we have, that's what you call iniquity, or there's a deceivableness there that she believed the lie instead of the truth. And look what happened in the garden. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got to guard ourselves also.
We can be deceived.
That's right.
We can be tricked.
We better keep this word in our heart and know what it says and don't get deceived. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things out there sometimes looks pretty good on the surface, but underneath it's not good at all.
So she it's good to know more.
Yeah.
It's good that I need
mm-hmm.
to have more. Well, she should have just learned from what her husband was teaching her and the Lord, but...
Now, let's look at something else. We were talking about those two loaves of bread back there, okay? One was the Jew and the Gentile. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2 and look and see what Paul wrote about this. Because, you know, he was a Pharisee. He knew the Torah and the scriptures and knew what the prophets had said. And so let's look and see what he wrote.
Well, before we go there, let's just think about one person that we talked about last week. Ruth.
Ruth
was a Jew, right? Her husband?
No, she was a Gentile.
No, I mean her mother, the mother-in-law.
Her mother, Naomi was a Jew.
Naomi was a Jew, and
right.
Naomi's husband was a Jew, and they were from the tribe of Benjamin, Judah. Well, you know, they decided to leave the protection of their land, even though the land was in famine. There was hard times.
They went to Moab.
They decided they would go to another country where mm-hmm. they would be able to have, food and so forth.
That's right.
And have better things. Well, see, they stepped out of their place of protection.
Yeah.
They stepped out of the place that God had placed them because they had property there. They had property there.
In Israel,
In Israel. And so they decided to step out. And so when they stepped out, what happened? And who's the leader of the home? The husband said, let's go to. And so he takes his wife and his two sons and they move to this other land. And so what happens? He dies.
Right.
The two sons died. So it only leaves the wife. See, she followed her husband. That's what a woman's supposed to do. She followed her husband. Maybe she didn't really want to go to these other countries, but she really didn't have any say-so. And it seems to me she probably, her heart was not to stay in that country because as soon as they were dead, and she can make a decision.
That's right.
There's no one to tell her what to do. Her husband's dead. Her sons are dead. It's not a good thing, but, you know, here she is all alone and too old to get married again, too old to have children again, and she's got two daughter-in-laws. And so she says, I'm going home.
I'm going back to Israel, where I belong.
I'm going to go where I belong.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes, and these two girls, the two women are going to go with her, but one of them decides to stay, and then Ruth decides to go. Well, we talked about Ruth. She went back. And this was at the time of the gleaning of the barley.
That's right, the barley harvest.
So she was able to go out there and glean in the barley. So here's a woman that would be what you're talking about, the Jew and the Gentile.
Naomi and her, the Jew and the Gentile, mm-hmm. and they gleaned those fields from what? From the barley harvest, it says, until the wheat harvest.
Right.
So it takes you out to Pentecost. It's incredible, you know.
It's incredible.
What we're talking about.
Here we're talking about, this is at the same time, and we've got a Jew and we've got, you know, a Gentile, because, well, she decided to come into that. So she came into the mm-hmm. to the believing in the one true God.
That's right.
So that's an awesome picture of what you're going to talk about right now. And that happened how many years before?
That's right. So we're talking about these two loaves.
Amen.
Well, chapter 2 of Ephesians is very important. So I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to start in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." So he loves us all so much, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
All right. Talks about when we were dead in our sins, he forgave us all that. And then Paul goes into verse 8 and tells us how we can come to that place of having our sins forgiven.
I like verse 5. He says, "He hath quickened us together with Christ."
That's right. We are dead in his sins. We're dead to sins. He hath quickened us. For even when we were dead in sins, I should say, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. So we go up to verse 8 now, and then Paul goes on. "For by grace," what's that grace mean? It means God's unmerited favor. "God's riches at Christ's expense are ye saved." How? "Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And let's go on. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus when we come to him, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them," or order our life in them. "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision," which were the Jewish people, "in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ," talking about these Gentiles, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But, I like the but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Talking about the Gentiles.
Amen.
For he is our peace, and who hath made both. He's talking about two things. Both one, what? Jew and Gentile, mm-hmm. and hath broken down the middle wall of the partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law, or the commandments of the Torah, and all the legalistic aspect of all that, of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself, listen to this, of twain. Twain means what?
Two.
Twain, one new man, and making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, peace of the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, which were the Jews. Now listen mm-hmm. to this. For through him, Yeshua, we both, here's two, Gentile and Jew, have access by what? One Spirit unto the Father. That's an incredible verse. Hear that? For through him, Yeshua, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
One Spirit.
Now therefore, ye are no more what? Strangers. Talking about the Gentiles and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
Ruth.
That's right. Now here we go. And are built upon what? The foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the what? The chief cornerstone. Everything was built on him. Now listen. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So it's a one new man, Jew and Gentile. That's what those two loaves represents over there in Leviticus mm-hmm. chapter 23. It's incredible when we think about that. Amen. Mm-hmm. And Peter even talked about the lively stones being built up on
That's
the foundation,
right.
and it turns into a holy habitation. So we are a holy habitation because God dwells in us.
Thank you, Lord.
The Son does, and the Holy Ghost dwells in us. It's incredible to know this. And so here we have this. Here's the fulfillment of all this, what was done in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And Yeshua, without his death, burial, and resurrection, this would not be true. But because he did that, this is now true, that anyone, no matter where they are in the world, no matter how they grew up, you know, whatever country, out someplace in the jungle, wherever they're from, God loves them, and he's calling them to be part of the body of Christ. Amen? So a lot of those are Gentiles, but the Jewish people are there as well. So his intent is for what? Both. That's what those two loaves represent. Isn't it incredible, Pastor Don? I love it.
It is incredible. It's incredible.
The word that he has. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
You know, I think about what if Naomi would have decided to stay in that land.
You're right.
See, she had a drawing by the Spirit.
To go back to her home.
She knew about the prophets and about
mm-hmm.
the Spirit of God.
You're right.
She had a drawing by the Spirit to return.
That's right. That's right. It's
and
incredible.
And also, Ruth had a drawing by the
mm-hmm.
Spirit. You know, unbelievers, they can hear the Spirit of God. Anyone can.
Or you wouldn't get born again.
Or you wouldn't get born again.
Some way that you have
she
to
She had a drawing to go with her.
That's right.
She didn't know
mm-hmm.
what was going to happen. She didn't
That's
know
right.
what was going to be mm-hmm. the end of her life. She didn't know what she was going to go through. She didn't know if she'd ever get married again. She didn't know if she'd ever have
and
children.
That's right.
She just knew that she was. Mm-hmm. She had this drawing to go back. So the God is drawing, to me, it's just God draws Jews and Gentiles to become one. Because this, I like this one scripture back here in verse 22. It says, mm-hmm. in whom ye also, I like to put in Christ. In Christ ye also mm-hmm. are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So through the Spirit, I'm thinking of these two women, they were to build something. What?
That's right.
What were they to build? Well, if you're finished reading the book of Ruth, you'll see what happened, you know, and how she was blessed, and how also Naomi was blessed, and how it had an end time event
sure did.
to the coming of Christ. See, if she had decided to, so she's one that was, I would say, chosen.
She was.
She was chosen. So she chose to be chosen, and she chose to follow a woman.
That's
you
right.
know, she was not following mm-hmm. a man. She chose to follow a woman who was following God. So
right.
you know, here we have. There were women prophets as well in the Old Testament, weren't there?
Sure were.
And there still are women prophets. And there are still women teachers and pastors and apostles. Well, a lot of people will come against what I'm saying right now. But, you know, we can look in the Bible. We can see examples of how God used women where a man would not step in and do what he was supposed
God
to do.
God confirms his word, doesn't
God
he?
Will use anyone who will be obedient.
Yes.
Obedient. and follow after the Spirit of the Lord. So she followed after the Spirit of the Lord, not knowing what their destination was, except knowing they were going to go back to this land.
That's right.
And you know, and you know, she even got her property back. Naomi did. You know,
yeah, she sure
she
did.
Got everything back plus Probably. More. That's I right. would say, you know, she was totally blessed because
she got a good man, didn't she?
She would go back. Yeah, now, Ruth did. Amen. And she got a man that loved the Lord and took care of her. And, you know, and she was out there gleaning. She was just gleaning the corners of the field. They didn't have a lot of wealth or
sure.
anything, but they went back to where the blessing was. See, that's the key.
Where the blessing
Whoa,
is.
Whoa, I just felt the Holy Ghost.
Where the
if
blessing
you step
is.
Out of the place where the blessing
yep.
is,
mm-hmm. that's
then,
right.
you know, it's not going to be good. But if you return to the place of the blessing, where your blessing is, then you know what you're going to be. Everything's going to be fulfilled in your life. But if you choose and you say, "Well, you know, I'd rather do this or I'd rather do that," or you know, and you step out of that place because your eye is now being drawn to other places,
Amen.
Other things,
mm-hmm.
and so you're not your focus isn't on where it should be. So we got to return to the place where we started. We got
to
return to the
to
place
Shuba,
of the blessing.
Yes.
We got to come back to the place of the blessing because mm-hmm. you might think, "Well, it looks better over there. It looks better." Out that way, you know, it looks better going west, looks better going north. No, you got to come back to the center and get back into that place where there's peace.
That's right. Absolutely.
Where there's peace and where you belong. Because when you do that, then you can see. We can see by the example what happened in there, just the lives of those two people. You know, the men are gone. They're gone. Why
right.
did they die? Why did the husband die? Why did the two sons die? Well, I believe it was God had to make some changes to get these women back, to get them back in there, because God already knows what's going to happen.
That's right.
But, you know, they stepped out of places of obedience.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Hmm.
Incredible.
It's incredible.
So God fulfills His Word. We just have to believe what His Word says. Amen. We're all called, appointed, and anointed to do something for the Lord, and so we have to be obedient to that. Amen. And if we're not, well, then we're going to miss out what God has for us. We want that. We want those blessings. You know, Naomi and Ruth, you know, Naomi went back to her homeland, didn't she, where the blessings were, because that's where it's at. Look, why are so many Jews going back to Israel right now?
That's right.
They said there's over 1,000 left France now because of what happened up there.
Over.
And Benjamin Netanyahu says, bring them on. We're going to make room
They'll
for
make
them.
Room.
We'll make room. That's the safest
there's
place in the
room.
World they could be. There's always
there's
room
always
for them.
There's always room.
So they went
There's
back.
There's always food.
Yeah. And so, of course, Naomi wondered what was going to happen with Ruth because she was a Gentile. But it's amazing how she found out that
she was given directions to go to a
exactly
certain field.
Exactly where to go.
And
that's
not
right.
And she wasn't to go to, you know what? This reminds me of church hoppers. She wasn't to go to this field and then go to this person's field and then go to somebody else's field. No, she was told to go one field and she was told to stay there.
Go to both.
Don't go
Boaz's
drifting
field.
Around to
that's
different
right.
fields. Go to this one field. This is the field where your blessing is. This is the field where you're supposed to be. Now, how did she know that? Well, by the Spirit, and also she knew she knew this person, I would imagine, and she knew that he was part of the family.
That's right.
We got to stay with the family of God. If we choose not to get, if we choose to go some other place and not with the family of God, you know, we've stepped out of that place of peace. We've stepped out of that place of having a single eye. And because we're looking around, we're looking around, and we're not focused. We're not focusing.
That's right.
On the right in the right places.
That's right. It's incredible.
Mm, that is so powerful, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
To think that you know how God used these two women
mm-hmm.
to bring forth, and we should sometime need to finish the book up and let everybody know. Some people may not even know what happened in their lives. You know.
That's right.
And how the fulfillment. Was for these for the answer that God how God wanted to move through people because God uses people places and things.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm.
So
and
we
you
have
know,
to keep that in mind. Don't we
think
all
about
the time.
Who came after there? Who came after in that family from that bloodline? Jesse, David.
10 generations down to David from the time that Ruth came. Isn't that incredible when you think about his word, how he fulfilled
out of a Gentile.
And we talked about that last week, about someone that was emasculated, as he talks about in the King James and all that, or had something wrong with them, you know, they were born out of wedlock and all that.
From a Gentile woman.
Yeah, from a Gentile woman. It tells you right there that They cannot enter into the congregation, means part of the congregation of the Lord, you know, in service and all that, for 10 generations. And it was mm-hmm. fulfilled to the mm-hmm. right to the generation that God talked about. And I thought about that last week, Pastor John said 10 generations. Back in those days, a generation was like, what, 40 years? So could that, well, they might overlap a little bit, but that could have been a period of several hundred years before that was fulfilled. It's incredible when you think about God's mm-hmm. word, how mm-hmm. faithful he is to all of that, all of it. And so, praise God, we know the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we're running out of time, Pastor Jim.
Yeah, we got about 3 minutes to go here.
And I think what's really awesome back here, we're saying, well, you know, the book of Leviticus had so much law and this and that,
yeah.
but, you know, we learned so much from it. And the very first thing that we it says in this very first thing in chapter 23 is to speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, holy. Even
set
these
apart.
Are my feasts. And the very first one, 6 days shall your work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest.
And it's not Sunday.
No, it's
not. People
Saturday.
Call Sunday the Sabbath. That's not the Sabbath. That's mm-hmm. the first day
it
of the new week.
It starts on Friday evening and
That's
goes
right.
to Saturday evening.
It's called
a holy convocation.
That's right. A Sabbath of rest.
You shall do no work therein.
That's what we do on Friday
It is the Sabbath
night.
Of the Lord. It's the Sabbath of the
right.
Lord.
We really rest on Friday night, don't we?
We rest, yes,
like
we do.
We do the Praise Shabbat the and take communion and hear a little bit from the Word, and then we turn on some nice music and we just lay down and rest in the presence of the Lord.
Some people sit in their chairs.
It's
some people
incredible.
Lay down on the
it's
river.
It's so wonderful.
In the river of God.
Yeah,
you know,
to be
others.
In that place. That's right. So precious place to be. God wants you to have the peace of God that passes
all understanding.
So that's where he wants us to be. Well, how do we do that? We have to commit ourselves to him. And enter into that place with
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
We're running out of time.
Well, this is
Pastor
Gina Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. You can listen to us on this radio broadcast, or you can go to WCNO.com. Tell your friends and relatives about it. They can listen to us anywhere in the world. Amen.
Amen.
And so you can also listen to this broadcast again if you want to pick up a few nuggets that maybe we said that you'd like to hear again. You can go and listen to it all over again. Praise God. We have services here in Stuart, Florida, and we meet with God on Sunday. The ministry is Spirit of Prophecy, and it comes from out of the book of Revelation. The testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the Spirit of Prophecy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. We believe in prophecy. Amen.
Amen.
We believe in healing. We believe in all the things that God says that we should be able to do and prophesy and speak in tongues. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah, so join us this afternoon as we watch this incredible video about a well-recognized Jewish rabbi that found about the Messiah, found out who he was.
Yes,
amen. Who he is. He is.
He's still alive. So, I mean, he's here. Amen.
He's in us.
So it's at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We also have services every Friday night at 7 p.m., but we have our Shabbat service, and our telephone number again here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007.
So as we close this program every week, we tell you the words of Jesus. Look up.
Look up.
Because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen.
We say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.